And now we move to the proposals that Michigan voters will see on the ballot 1 week from today. Lester Graham with Michigan Radio's investigative unit, Michigan Watch, joins us now to take a closer look at Proposal 5, the so-called two-thirds proposal. Lester, explain to us how Proposal 5 could change the tax picture in Michigan if it's passed.
Well, right now we can have a tax increase with a simple majority of the legislature and the governor signing it. This would change that, saying entering into the Constitution, it must be a two-thirds supermajority or a vote of the people before there can be any tax increase.
All right. So it seems that we can't get our lawmakers even to agree on getting a budget done in time. We've seen standoffs. So is there any stretch of the imagination where backers feel they're going to be able to get the legislature to agree?
I have seen some reports that indicate that Michigan has never in the history of the state passed a tax increase by a two-thirds majority.
So the upshot could be what if this is passed?
Well, it means gridlock by some accounts. Basically, what it does, anytime you change the tax structure, there's a little bit of tax cut here, there's a little bit of tax increase here, there's some loopholes closed over here. The idea is to make sure that you have the lowest tax possible spread across as broadly, as widely as possible.
Okay.
So if you can't have a little tax cut here and a little tax increase there without a two-thirds majority vote, then you've really limited. The recent tax restructuring we saw, which some people are not a fan of, would not have happened. But then Prop A, which a lot of people say, hey, that really lowered my real estate taxes, wouldn't have happened. There's just no way to really function very well for the legislature to deal with tax structure changes.
Where did this come from? Who originated this, and what's the genesis?
Well, the group is called the Michigan Alliance for Prosperity. Basically, it's a few Tea Party members, not all Tea Party members, but the backing, the financial backing, comes from the Maroon family. They are the owners of the Ambassador Bridge.
This does seem to be the election of the Maroons this year, doesn't it?
They have two amendments to the Constitution on the ballot. It's amazing, and they've spent a lot of money to promote certainly Proposal 6, but they've also put a couple of $1 million, actually more than that, into Proposal 5.
If this seems to be something that would cause such gridlock, have we heard enough hue and cry on the other side?
Well, I'll talk about the opposition just for a second, but I want to say it's not, you know, there's one longtime Michigan politician who has been in favor of this idea of a two-thirds majority, Mike Bouchard, who's the sheriff of Oakland County. He's been in favor of this since he was a state senator back in the 1990s. So this is not just a Tea Party movement. This is a real fiscal conservatives who like the idea. But the opposition basically says this doesn't just make a two-thirds majority. This basically lets 13 senators in the Senate control everything that has to do with tax increases, because you might have the House might pass this unanimously.
Right.
And it goes to the Senate, and right there, 13 senators can stop this from happening. And as Mitch Bean, the former director of the House Fiscal Agency, says, you can always buy 13 senators. Now, I don't mean illegally.
Right.
Just mean with contributions.
And talk about the states that where this has come into play, where they do have a legislative supermajority.
Right. California is the first on the list. But California has a lot more problems than just a two-thirds majority, because they have to have two-thirds majority for passing the budget. There are all kinds of proposals that have been added to their constitution that really make it difficult for legislators there to pass any kind of financial manipulation or financial machination, in that state. So it's really tough for California. There are other states that have a two-thirds majority, but they find that while, you know, they like the idea there are no tax increases, it really does limit what government can do. And that's key, because economies change. Economies evolve. We are not the state we were 30 years ago or 20 years ago. The economy has changed.
Clearly.
The tax structure has to, most economists will say, has to change and evolve with the economy. Otherwise, we're stuck in some kind of mode from 30 years ago. Of course, the answer the Prop 5 supporters say is, well, give to a vote of the people. But I think we've seen this year how easy, if you want to put the money into it, it is to manipulate the voters.
Spend a lot of money, deep pockets, and people are getting information from those TV commercials.
TV ads, yep.
What have we seen ad-wise for Prop 5?
We haven't seen
Not much, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. In fact, I'm working with the Truth Squad right now to look at some of the ads that have been on. But frankly, most of the money that's gone into ads are from outside the state. The Koch brothers are going to put some money into supporting Prop 5. Grover Norquist from the anti-tax group in Washington is going to be putting some money in, I understand. The really interesting part of this is when you look for supporters of Prop 5, there's the National Federation of Independent Business, these Tea Party groups, and then a lot of out-state folks. When you look who's against Proposal 5, it's nearly everybody else, whether it's business, labor, nonprofits, any organization you want to look at in this state is saying this is not a good idea. This is going to cause a problem for Michigan. The supporters disagree.
I would suspect the local bodies of government would just be terrified that if you can't get that, money has to come from somewhere. So if you can't get the taxes at the state level because of this legislative supermajority, guess where it's going to roll downhill to?
Yeah, that's a concern the Michigan Chamber of Commerce has mentioned, and the Michigan Municipal League, of course, is really worried about. If you can't get the support you need at the state level because there's revenue sharing between the state and the local governments, the local governments are going to be on their own and they're going to have to say, okay, well, we didn't want to do this, but we're going to have to put a tax increase on the ballot here in the local area. So, you know, if you're a business person or just a homeowner, you've got to worry about the tax burden being shifted from the state level to the local level, which kind of got us into trouble once before in Michigan.
Would Prop 5, that passing, how would that impact Michigan's credit rating, do you think?
That's a real concern. In fact, several of the proposals could impact Michigan's tax credit rating. I asked Budget Director John Nixon about that. He kind of wanted to poo-poo it because he was hoping for a really good credit rating. In fact, an improvement in the credit scores for the state of Michigan, and we didn't get one. They're still waiting to see what happens with these proposals, and of course, chief among them is this Proposal 5. Now, why is that important, the credit rating of the state?
Yeah.
It's because the debt we have, and we do have debt as a state for bonds, for long-term infrastructure projects, that could increase the interest rate, which means more of our tax dollars are going to pay higher interest rates than instead of being used for projects that we need done right now.
We talked about California as a kind of a poster child for how it is not working so well, but you say many different circumstances in Michigan. Are there any states where having this legislative supermajority could be said to be working the way it's supposed to or the way its backers claim it will?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. If you don't like the idea of your taxes ever being increased again at the state level, I guess you could say it works. But as I mentioned before, when you need the flexibility to change your tax structure as your economy changes, those states are getting in trouble. Nevada has it, and I believe their unemployment rate is among the highest in the state. Mississippi has it. It's among one of the poorest states in the state or in the country. So, you know, it's a concern. I'm sure that the supporters would point to states where it seems to have worked better. But it's always in combination with your other proposals or your other amendments to your constitution and how your state works. So it's hard to compare its apples and oranges most of the time.
And just to recap, so when we walk into a vote next Tuesday, just make sure everybody's clear on the language of this and what a yes vote means.
A yes vote means you are in favor of 2/3 majority or a vote of the people for any tax increase at the state level. A no vote means you want the government to have the flexibility to continue to make tax restructuring as it feels is most beneficial to the economy.
Michigan Radio's Lester Graham, thanks for the look at Proposal 5.
Thank you, Cindy.